you stand as we begin our worship this morning?
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is
how are yous? Yes, good? Well, good. We had a bit of sunshine this past week. We had a bit of rain this past week. Mowed my grass like 5 times, it seems like. Or at least twice. So, well, it is great to see all of you this morning. We've got some of you that have been out and about traveling back. We've got some more visitors this morning. So we've got a good group this morning. We are so happy that you all have joined us this morning. I'm not going to dilly-dally. We got a bunch of announcements. So we've got a lot going on. Summer is in full force. So if you would, turn with me to your bulletins. We have had church camp, children's church camp this past week. Our daughter went Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I know when Amber picked her up Wednesday, she was just tired as tired can be. She had a great time, good time, but fell asleep on the way back from Carthage. So I know she had a good time. But today, our 5th and 6th graders will be taken to camp. So we've got just a few more days of camp left. So continue to be in prayer for those workers, for those kids, that it's a good time in the Lord at camp. There was supposed to be an SDMI committee meeting this evening. We are going to postpone that. So those of you that are in or on that committee, we will get with you a new date and time for that meeting. Tomorrow evening, we're going to be celebrating a wedding shower for Zach and Nicole Gatlin here at the church, Fellowship Hall, at 7 o'clock. Zach and Nicole are over here. They've been married going on a couple months now, roughly. So come be a part of that tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Then Tuesday, we've got an earlier game, men's softball, Tuesday night, 6:45. So have dinner, come out to the park, cheer on the softball team, be a good time. Senior adult luncheon Thursday at lunchtime here at the church at noon. And then men's ministry breakfast. There's, I'm assuming, a sign-up sheet out on the Welcome Center. If there's not, we'll get one by the end of church. That way we can kind of get a head count of those men that will be at the breakfast Saturday at 8. Then next Sunday is our dog's dinner. That is our monthly birthday anniversary celebration. So bring a entree or a side dish, preferably some pies, some deviled eggs, and we'll have a good time in celebration and lunch. A couple other upcoming dates that I want to put in your mind to kind of be looking forward to. On July the 27th, we will be having a guest speaker named Felix Vargas. I know pastors kind of mentioned him a little bit, Carolyn will be talking about him. He is from Cali, Colombia, so he'll be a guest speaker. And then also another wedding shower that we're going to be celebrating on the 30th for Tiffany Raper and Stevie Beetzler. So keep those in mind. Then another one we want you to save the date for. It's a Remembering 9/11. So Sunday, September 11th, there will be a service at the Nixa High School Stadium at 5 p.m. This will be out on the bulletin board kind of as a reminder. And as we get closer to September, we'll continue to make mention of this event, remembering September 11th. We've got our carnival, our Faith, Family, and Fun Day, just right around the corner. So we're going to be needing some volunteers, some donations. Cody's going to come at this time and kind of give us an idea of some of the preparations that are still needing to be made.
Real quick, August 20th is our carnival date. I believe we run noon to 3. We switched it up a little bit last year, and we brought people inside the sanctuary to do our basket giveaway and everything and to share the gospel message with them. What I'm needing is 2-liter donations for the ring toss, as usual. We pretty much have everything else taken care of. Many times, I've had people give me cash donations for the carnival. If you would, that is okay. But if you would, please run that through the church office and make a memo on that check or whatever. That way you're able to get credit for that donation. And that way we also make sure when we're doing the budget and I'm looking at that, I'm not accounting for people's outside donations and what we truly need to make this event happen. Most of the areas, I've already talked to the leaders who have done it for the past several years, but we are going to need volunteers. I will have some sign-up sheets by this evening on the outside counter, and you will know where to, what we need, what we have available, and where we need to sign up. On those sheets, if I've got six slots there and they're already filled up, please do not write a number seven. I have plenty of areas that need help. If there's something that we need to take in consideration, as far as being out in the sun and everything else, please come talk to me. I'll work very hard to accommodate that so that you're able to feel comfortable while you're out there helping. But this is something that we do for our community and for the people outside of our church. And we have the potential to bring anywhere from 300 to 400 people come out and see the carnival and everything. So I'd appreciate your help. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. Thank you. Oh, and we are working on confirming this music this week to have live music this year. So another couple of changes that we'll make. So anyways, if you have any questions, please feel free to ask me or email whatever you need to do, and I'll try to answer those questions for you. Thank you.
Welcome to Fawn Grove Compassion Center, the warehouse where your school PAL packs are received and processed for shipping. School PAL packs provide primary school students with the supplies they need to facilitate learning. The Church of the Nazarene operates numerous primary schools around the world, providing quality education for children. Unfortunately, children in many world areas often do not have the supplies needed for school. In countries with economic challenges, families cannot afford to purchase supplies, and siblings are often required to share them. In response to this need, Nazarene Missions International, together with Nazarene Compassionate Ministries, has provided over 71,000 school PAL packs to students around the world. So, we know the need. Now let's put one together. Each pack contains two composition books, no larger than 9 3/4 by 7 1/2 inches. One package of 10 to 12 number 2 pencils. One package of 10 to 12 black pens. One package of 10 to 12 colored pencils. Two pink erasers. Two rulers with metric measurements. 6-inch rulers are best. 12-inch rulers are accepted. One pair of blunt-nosed scissors, one handheld pencil sharpener, the flatter the better. Only include these specific items. Why? Because these are basic supplies that can be used in any world area, and these are the approved items on the shipping documents when school PAL packs are checked by the customs officials of the countries they're sent to. Did you know that any deviations can cause an entire shipment to be rejected? It's really important that you include only these specific items. All these items are inserted into a 1-gallon plastic zip-type bag. And yes, it will...
We're going to be doing these PAL pack or these school packs, and I thought this was a really great video to show just exactly what we need. And we're going to be doing this, and which is now is a perfect time because everything's really on sale at the store. So if you would like to participate in this, Pat has some papers to let you know what you need. And then if you want to just collect those and put them in your Walmart sack or whichever sack and just put them there on the bookshelves, and then we'll get those together and mail those. And Linda said she'd like to have those by the middle of August. Also, Wednesday, July 27th at 6:30, Felix Vargas, that Ben was talking about, is going to be a speaker to be here from Cali, Colombia. Right now, he attends the largest Nazarene church in the world in Colombia, and he was part of the drug cartel of Colombia, so I'm sure he's going to have some really great stories to tell. Linda is asking if we could make cookies to bring afterwards, And so if you can do that, please call Linda and let her know so she knows how many cookies that we need to have.
How many of you are glad to be in the Lord's house today? Amen. Well, some of you are really glad. Hey, there's some back there that are really excited about being here. How many are glad when you're able to bring your tithes and offerings into God's storehouse? Isn't that a blessing? Didn't have as many on that as I did the other. I don't know. I'm slipping up some way. Well, we're glad you're here today and trust that God's going to bless you. Invite our ushers to come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day. Thank you for each and every one here. As you bless this offering for thy intended use. Thank you for this beautiful day, and thank you for this church and each and every one here. Bless these things in thy name. Amen.
wondering this morning how many of us remember. For many, it's such a distant memory, particularly if you accepted Christ as a child. There may not have been major change. Things may have just kind of been the same all the way through. But perhaps some of you are here this morning that may have come to know Christ later in life. And to sing the words of a song like that are extremely powerful. I'll never be the same again. To know that God has taken us from a life of darkness, a life of sin, and given us so much opportunity and so much blessing. But those of us maybe who have known Christ since we were children need to be ever mindful and thankful that God kept us from many things. And I think the tendency sometimes is to almost take for granted what we have always known. But there's not one of us, no matter how early in life we were saved, that are not sinners saved by grace. Every one of us born into this life in alienation to God's holiness. Every one of us born into this life with a need for a Savior. And the opportunity, as we grow and come to know God's Word, the opportunity to go from knowing a Savior to having a Lord. I want to talk to you some about that this morning. I'm so thankful to know that when we come into God's house and into God's presence, that there's a place and a time that I can lay my burdens down. Now, I don't have to wait until that specific time. We can communicate with God anytime, any place. But you know, what happens in the corporate assembly of church is that there are those special times and places, very designated times and places, where I can release some things, where I can turn loose of some things. And as we prepare our hearts for prayer this morning, we're at that point in the service where if you've come in shouldering a burden that is too heavy to carry, here's a good time and a place at an altar of prayer to release those things to God. He wants to carry them for you. And if indeed it's been a week of blessing, good things have happened. Matter of fact, Ben, speaking of good things happening, is my candle gone? Okay, well, look. Honors, my friend. And so, Ben, why do we light this candle? Because somebody got saved. So, can you make your way back to your microphone here? And would you like to inform us of somebody getting saved?
Well, this past Monday, I'd had an extremely long day. I had to be at work early. Got home, had to have a quick dinner, board meeting, and then I had to show a house. And when I got home, about finally 8:30, 9 o'clock, my 5-year-old came up to me, and she had an announcement to make. And she said, "Daddy, I asked Jesus into my heart." So, no matter how long of a day, no matter how tired you are, when you hear that at the end of the day, it's just, it's great to hear.
That's pretty refreshing, isn't it? Amen. And so we celebrate. The angels in heaven celebrate and rejoice, and we rejoice with them. We celebrate with Ben and Amber and their family at, you know, when Christ comes into a child's life, you know that God has saved a lifetime. What a wonderful blessing. And we're so excited for all that God is doing in our midst. We thank you for those of you who are visiting with us for the first time today. We try always to celebrate salvation And some of you have been a part of our family off and on. Good to see Brad today and have him back in service with us. We're always glad for all of you to be here. And our prayer is that as you come into this place, into the presence of a holy God, that He will speak to your heart, that He will lift your spirit, that He will shoulder your burden and accept your praise. And so these altars are open to you. Would you stand with me this morning as we sing together? Indeed, if you need a place just to lay a burden down or to lift up a thanksgiving to the Lord today, you find your place at these altars. No one will come to you. And then we'll lift our voices in prayer together.
You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust.
What a blessing it is to be in your house on your day with your family, your children, to be in your presence in the midst of your holiness. Seraphims call out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Lord, we're not just going through some religious ritual. But we believe with all our hearts that there is a living, holy, sovereign God in heaven who loves us and cares for us. Your Son Jesus, who gave His life on the cross, sits at your right hand and intercedes on our behalf, speaks our name in your presence. Because of the blood that He shed and the faith that we've exercised in that work. And Lord, we thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit who leads, guides, and directs us as we read and apply Your Word to our lives. Lord, where we have fallen and failed, if we repent, we find forgiveness. And Lord, where we submit and yield, we are filled with Your Holy Presence and find victory. Lord, we have so much to be grateful for. We indeed thank You. We give You our praise. You are worthy. You are worthy of our praise. We love You. We thank You. We appreciate salvation. We appreciate Your power and presence in our daily lives. We appreciate Your wisdom, Your Holy Spirit, guiding our mind through conscience and other ways, Lord, to help us make right decisions. Lord, we want to show the true Jesus, the true God to the world by the way we live our lives, by the attitudes we exemplify, by the actions that we have. Lord, as we encounter this journey called life, as we continue to move forward toward the goal of eternity in heaven, we pray that You would be with us. Give us strength. Give us direction. Lord, may we truly yield all of ourselves to You, that You might use us as You desire, fellowship with us as You want, and that we might be victorious and see good things come to the lives of those we love and interact with. Thank You for the sense of Your presence today. Lord, we believe that You are alive and well. We ask You, Father, to continue to live within our hearts to be our God, to be Lord of our lives. Touch those who are in physical need today as the great physician, bring healing into their bodies and lives. Lord, for those who are needing provision, we know there are some within our congregation that need employment. We know that there are those who may be facing financial struggles. Lord, we know that summertime is a busy time. There's travel and vacation, trying to get back into schedules, all kinds of things that are going on. May the people that are away from us today, that are part of our family, since our prayers and your presence, may they return safely to us. Lord, may those who have been away truly be refreshed and ready to go back and do the things that that they're responsible to do. Lord, may we exemplify you in every day, in every way. Comfort those that mourn today. Lord, where there are losses of various kinds, we pray that you'd bless us in our grief. Lord, for those that are rejoicing over victories, we rejoice with them. Have your will and your way now in the remainder of this service, and may your word go forth and pierce our hearts, and may it conform us into the image and the likeness of your Son, Jesus. Father, for all this, we will give you praise. And all God's people said, amen. I want to share with you this morning text found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, and the first portion of verse 17. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That is a little bit of a challenge to perceive for some folks. Now, for those of us who've been in church all our lives and that's all we've ever heard, it's a little easier to take. But the idea, the theological concept that a being, a personality that occupies a time and space in another area can actually implant themselves into our heart and be resident with us in our everyday life, that's kind of a little bit of a challenge to our minds. To think of someone that we think of as a person or a personality being inside our heart. And yet we know that as we play out this theological concept that we're not talking about a physical fleshly being placing themselves within the physical organ that pumps lifeblood through our body, but we are talking about the mental presence of the spiritual realm being in our heart, which is the essence of our being. There is this relationship and communication that goes on because God literally wants to occupy our hearts. He wants to come and settle down and be at home in our hearts by faith. Now, you will be reminded that in John chapter 14, and Mike, you don't have this, I don't believe, but in John chapter 14, we are told that in verse 23... Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we, my Father and I, we will come to him and make our home with him." Jesus and the Father will make his home with us. This term home is the same as you find in verse 2 of the same chapter. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. So just as we can open our hearts and we can invite Jesus Christ into our life, you remember that in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, the word says to us, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open, then I'll come and enter in. I'll come in fellowship. I'll come and sup with you," is what the King James says. He's going to have that fellowship, that relationship. So we can invite Jesus Christ to be a part of our lives and live in our hearts and be present with us everywhere, all the time, every day, in the exact same sense that Jesus ascended into the heavens, returned to the right hand of the Father, and is preparing a place to be our eternal dwelling. Just as we plan to go and be with Him there and then, He is with us here and now. So we don't ever have to be without Jesus. We don't ever have to be without the fellowship and the kinship of a holy God. But there is a concept here that I think plays out in reality, because when we realize that we are sinners in need of a Savior, when we realize that we are headed for an eternity in hell, and particularly as small children, the fear of hell and those kind of things plays heavily into the move to this relationship. And so we invite Jesus into our heart at those early beginning stages, and even as adults inviting Christ in, sometimes we don't really understand exactly what God wants to do and the fact that He wants our entire being. We sort of initiate this relationship because we want to have Christ come into our heart and forgive us of our sins, because we don't want to go to hell. And that's pretty good motivation. But the truth of the matter is, we will be far more successful in our Christian walk and relationship when we fall in love with Jesus and have a relationship and do what we do because we love Him and want to please Him, rather than we fear an eternity in hell. And so we invite Christ in. He comes into our heart. And what I want us to do visually this morning is to perceive our heart as Christ's home. Our heart, Christ's home. We have invited Jesus to come in and be a guest in our house. Our house, like His heaven, has many rooms. And when we have a guest come into our house, oftentimes, a guest stays, and sometimes, depending on how long they're staying, and in this case, it would be a long stay, hopefully, for Jesus to come into our heart and stay. And so we begin to acquaint them with the household and the rooms and where things are and what they can do, and we kind of give those messages off as to where they can't go and what they can't do. Because they're guests. They're not the owners. They're not paying the mortgage. They're not paying the insurance. They're not paying the taxes. There are places that are private to us. And so we give them the directions and give them keys so they can come and go when they need to. And oftentimes we have to go on about work and life, and they're still at the house, and so they need to be able to eat and do the things that they need to do. And so we give them a lot of freedom, but not necessarily total freedom. We don't necessarily want them in our private places. And so I want us to begin today to think about this concept of my heart, Christ's home, and think about the rooms that you might have in your house. And the cool thing about dreaming is, when I'm dreaming, I can have a whole lot better house than I can really afford. And so as we make this journey this morning, and as I invite Jesus Christ into my heart, His home now as a guest, then the first place that I want us to go is to the library, the study of the mind. The library, in my particular case, is a very small room with very thick walls. It's the control room. We know that the body doesn't do anything the brain doesn't give it permission to do.
The mind is the control center. What is this library stocked with? What kind of books and magazines and pictures are on the walls of this library? The Bible tells us in Psalms 119, verse 11, that we need to hide His Word in our hearts that we might not sin against Him. What kind of reading material are we feeding ourselves on? There's all kinds of publications out there. And there are publications that are beneficial to us, and there are publications that are trash. But a lot of times, people out of curiosity read stuff they really shouldn't be reading. They fill their mind with stuff they really shouldn't be filling with. Now, God made a perfect recorder here, and it doesn't forget stuff. Sometimes under stress, it has trouble pulling it up, but it's there. And sometimes in your sleep, sometimes when your mind is relaxed and it's not preoccupied with other things, sometimes in your dream life, things can come out that don't come out at other times because you're not there to shut it down. And oftentimes the things that you have fed yourself on and the things that you have impressed upon your mind and printed within the library of the control center of your life, that's when that stuff comes out. Sometimes under pressure in real life, stuff that you can normally subdue, when you're really under pressure, you really feel sick, you're really tired, you're angry, stuff will come out that's really there, but you've suppressed. This is why it's so important what you put in there on the recorder. Choose well what you read. And think about how you focus and how you center to deal with these things. I think that one of the best things that can happen is that every one of us needs to have a picture of Christ. As Christians, there needs to be a picture of Christ at a central point in our library, so that when things would come into our mind that shouldn't be in our minds, then we can turn our thoughts to that image of Christ. We can think about Jesus Christ. We can say, what would Jesus do? You can put whatever phraseology you want to on it. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 that we need to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. The image that I remember most easily, and my sister Sue will attest to this because she was there in our house on the farm before Mom and Dad sold the farm. You would walk into the back porch area and through the kitchen and turn the corner into the living room, and there would be a bookcase there on the right hand as soon as you came through. And now you're looking at what used to be two rooms, but now it was just one long living room. But right here on the immediate right, there was a bookcase, and right above that bookcase was a picture of this very scripture, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. She's nodding her head now, so she's remembering. There's a picture of Jesus knocking on the door. And so I've tried in my life to put that image, that picture, in my mind, so that when my mind would be tempted to go places it shouldn't go, I can recall that picture. I can focus on that thought. I can see that image to help me. It's very important what is in our library. It's very important what we read and what we consume and what we record in our mind. And perhaps we're at a stage in our life that we realize that when Christ visits the library and we become a little uncomfortable, what might be on the walls and what might be on the shelves, that it's time to ask God to help us to redo our library. And indeed to place a picture of Himself at a central place that would help us to think on the things that we need to think about. The second room that I want us to go to this morning is the dining room. I like this room. I go there a lot. For deviled eggs. For those of you who are new to the church, that's an inside joke. If Ben and I were the only ones at church dinners, we'd have pie and eggs. That would be it. So at any rate, the dining room is the place of our appetites and our desires. It's a large room where I spend time satisfying my wants and my needs. And I say to Jesus, I think you'll like the menu here, but the menu is full of worldly fare. It's the husk, the sour cabbage, the leeks, the onions and garlic. It's the stuff that Egypt was made of. Do you remember those Israelites who wanted to turn and go back when it got a little tough? And they didn't appreciate what God was doing in miraculous ways for them. They wanted to go back to Egypt. And there are times that the devil hits us so hard, and sometimes we become so overwhelmed with the things of life that if we're not careful, we begin to think it was easier in Egypt. If we're not careful, we begin to think we want to go back. And maybe, if Christ didn't demand so much of us, and this Christianity thing wasn't such a challenge, it would just be a lot more fun. And Jesus obviously is not going to partake of the kind of things that we started out partaking of before He came into our life. And there are changes. When Christ comes into our life, there are changes that need to take place, not only in the library of our mind, but in what we feed ourselves on and what we're consuming and putting into to our bodies. And I'm reminded of a passage of Scripture in John chapter 4, in verse 32, where Jesus said, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." And then in verse 34, he said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." When we give our hearts and our lives to Jesus Christ, we need to be thinking about what God's agenda for our life is. We need to be thinking about doing his will and pleasing him rather than pleasing ourselves. We're told in the book of Galatians chapter 5, beginning of verse 16, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." And then if we jump down to verse 24, it goes on to say this: "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." We need to be living our lives. We need to be feeding ourselves on the food of the will of God. We need to be on his agenda and not on our agenda. We need to get a nutritionist. Every time I go to the hospital, they want me to eat healthy. And there's certain things they don't want to put on my plate and certain embellishments that they don't want to put on, you know, and they take off the salt and they take off other things and, you know, all the stuff that makes food really good, but really bad. God wants to help us to live lean spiritually so that we indeed are healthy and that we're not damaging ourselves and so that we're not hurting ourselves by what we feed. The third room today that I want us to think about is the drawing room. And a lot of times when people build homes, if they can't if they don't have the money to build a lot, or if they buy a home that they can afford, something, it wouldn't have this kind of place. But I think it's great when you can have that room that's just kind of that quiet place where you go. Maybe a fireplace and a couple of overstuffed chairs. And it's the kind of place where you sit down and read and where you can contemplate and think about things. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus really liked this room in my house. And he said, "Let's come here often so we can fellowship." We would meet every day, share together. But then life got busy, and the longer Christ was a guest in my house, and as I got busier, then those times of intimacy would be less often. I found myself having busyness and things that kept me from doing those things. Somehow, devotional life was always the first thing that seems to go. And one day, as I passed by the drawing room, the door was ajar, and the fire was crackling, and there was Jesus in the overstuffed chair, and I was headed out the door because I was busy. And I knew something was wrong in my spirit. And I stepped into that room. And I thought about those times when I was like Psalms 42 and 1, where it says, "As the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul thirsts for you." And yet I realize how many times I've become so busy and so preoccupied, not necessarily with anything wrong, just stuff, to where I didn't have time to be intimate with God. And I always thought that was something that was a demand, that was a duty. And I stopped in that room that morning and Jesus said, "Did you ever just realize that I just like this time? That I just want to be with you?" I was broken in my spirit and reminded of those verses in John chapter 15, where it says, "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you." Has anybody here ever been on the playground in the PE class and you were always at the end of the list being chosen? God of heaven, the sovereign God of the universe, chooses to be with you. He longs for that intimate fellowship of the drawing room. And then we stopped one day into the workshop, which involved the productivity of my life. And Jesus wandered around the room and looked at the workbench, and there were some tools there, but not much was being done with them. And Jesus said, are these little toys all that you're producing? And I replied, it's the best I can do. And he said to me, would you like for me to help you do better? And he showed me what was the potential if I allowed the Spirit to control my life and to guide my hands and my heart. And he begins to do a work in me, as described in John chapter 14, or 15, verse 4. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither you can bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And I realize how much I still have to learn. But if I submit my talents and if I submit my gifts, that what he can do with them surprises me. And I'm reminded immediately of the passage of Scripture in John chapter 6, verses 9, 11, and 13, where the small boy gives his 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and Jesus takes them and breaks them and blesses them. The question is asked, how far can this go? But when the Lord gets a hold of it, we find in verse 13 that not only is there enough for everybody, but there's leftovers. When we give our lives completely over to Jesus, he multiplies our literal ability. He multiplies and creates a more tremendous potential. But we have to turn loose and give over to him. And I've always been a sports nut, and so if I'm going to build the house I want a recreation room. I want a man cave. I want the things that I enjoy. I want the pleasures of life. I want to have some fun. The truth of the matter is, some of the things that brought me fun, some of the things that I found pleasure in as Christ came into my life and as Christ occupied my house, I began to feel a little bit uncomfortable with some of the things that had been my pleasures before. The Scriptures tell us in the book of James, chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. That is one of the hardest things for me to discern. You know, where are things okay? What's the stuff of the world that's okay? It's so easy to be caught up in the attraction and the lure and all the things, all the activities. Man, there's just so much stuff you can choose to do and be involved in. And it's not necessarily sinful in and of itself, but sometimes we get so caught up in doing all the stuff we want to do, we don't have time to do the stuff God wants us to do. We find out God's not really first in our lives. He's really not foremost in our life. All the things that we enjoy are things that we're trying not to involve him in. And I realized a lot of times I was headed out to places without him. It's like, okay, Jesus, you stay at the house. You're a guest at my house. I got a couple of things I want to do you probably wouldn't be interested in. I'm going to go, you stay. What kind of a relationship is that? And I realize that I cannot have places in my life that Jesus is not welcome in. I cannot have things in my life that Jesus cannot easily be a part of. If I'm uncomfortable with Jesus being a part of something I'm doing, that's the time for me to stop doing that thing. If Jesus comes into the room and I have to shut something off or turn something away or stick something under the cushion or whatever, I shouldn't be doing that. The enemy is good at what he does. And he appeals to the fleshly appetites of our life. and helps us to rationalize why we deserve a few moments of fun. When God has tried to tell us over and over again, if we indulge, we're looking for heartbreak. And maybe we ought to consider not only what it does to us, but what it might do to others. Which kind of brings us to that point of that room that virtually every house has, the hall closet. In this particular case, the hall closet represents that small area that I don't think should concern any guest in my house. It's the place where I might hide some things. It's a place where I might put the stuff that's nobody else's business. It's a place where I might have some things that maybe aren't the best. The hidden place. The secret place. And I came home from work one day, find Christ at the top of the steps in front of the hall closet, and he says, "Hey, what are you going to do about this room?" I said, "It's not a room, it's a closet. No big deal, just some stuff." He said, "Well, my bedroom is right by it, and it stinks." And I got to tell you, I was a little ticked. I invited Jesus to come into my life. I invited him to be a guest in my house. I had given him free reign of virtually every area in the house, and now he's picking at some small area that's none of his business. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24 says, "Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth?" And we're reminded in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible." When we invite Jesus Christ into our life, Jesus is the light. And the light of Jesus Christ exposes everything that is not like him and is associated with darkness in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And if we are honest, in many cases, when we first invite Jesus in, we're thrilled to be relieved of hell. But when Jesus starts poking around and the light starts exposing the darkness, all of a sudden, we're a little bit ticked. But you see, here's the deal. God is either first and foremost and welcome everywhere in everything, or he's not welcome at all. And that day Jesus said to me, "Well, listen, if you don't want me to be involved in your life, then I'm packing my bags and I'm headed out." Now, I know that there are people out there that teach, once you accept Jesus Christ, you can't get away from him no matter how hard you try. I'm telling you, that's not the way it works. You can walk away from God just as quickly as you walk toward him. Because it's not about God failing. It's not about God messing up. It's not about God not being willing. It's about us. It's about us wanting to run our own show. It's about us wanting to have our own will. It's about us wanting to have our own way. And what we come to realize very quickly, if we're truly pursuing Jesus Christ and we're giving him free rein in our house, we realize we can't handle it all. And some of the stuff that Christ wants from us and believes that he can help us with, he has to say to us, "Listen, I realize you can't keep it all clean. I realize you can't handle the whole thing. So I have a proposal for you. You have invited me into your house to be a guest. And you have allowed me to be a resident. But what if I was to become president? What if you were to sign this title deed over and give me complete ownership of your life? your house. And let me handle everything about the operations of this place, and I will allow you to remain here forever. How about a deal like that? Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Galatians 2:20 says to us, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. What I'm asking you this morning, what I'm proposing to you, is that you flip the logistics and you cease to be the owner of the house and let Jesus cease being the guest, and you sign the title over and you let him be owner of it all and you become the guest. Turn loose of it all and follow his leadership, and God can make out of your life what he designed for it to be. As children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, I took my broken dreams to God, for I knew he was my friend. But instead of leaving him to work by himself in peace alone, I stayed around and tried to help with thoughts that were my own. And then one day I snatched them back and cried, why do you work so slow? And he said, my son, what could I do? You never would let go. You see, we like control. We like thinking of God as being this big brother, security guard, bodyguard person that's going to protect us and take care of us and keep us out of danger and bless us, and we just tell him what we need like celebrities do. Do you know what? We're not celebrities. We're sinners saved by grace and ought to be happy about it. And God is the creator and sustainer of the universe. We are his creation. He is not subject to us. We should be subject to him. But God never forces himself on anyone. And we have to make that choice, just like we made a choice to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We have to make the choice. We have to stop at some point in time and say, I'm not getting it done. I can't handle this. And we have to turn the reins over to Jesus Christ. And God doesn't want you to take a piece of paper and start thinking of all the things you need to give to him. He doesn't need a list. What he needs is for you to take a blank sheet of paper, go right to the bottom, and sign your name and hand it to him. And he'll take care of things. It can be the most exhilarating thing in our life to turn loose that way. But I want to give you one final word of warning, one final concern out of the book of Matthew, chapter 12. Verse 43, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house that I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. This is how it will be with this wicked generation. When we invite Jesus Christ into our heart and our life, he forgives our sins. He cleans the place up. If we don't immediately give him complete control and allow him to fill us with his spirit, that spirit that was driven out of our life is going to be looking for a place to go. And I promise you, if you give the devil any leeway, he will reoccupy territory faster than you can imagine. Folks, it's all about remaining yielded. It's all about remaining surrendered so that we can be what God wants us to be. Janet, I didn't think to talk to you, but would you care to come and play that song, I Surrender All? Folks, this is where it's at. This is where success in a relationship with Jesus Christ is at, is when we finally come to the place of turning loose, letting go, dying to ourselves and surrendering everything to Him. He's plenty willing and more than capable of handling everything that's going on in your life. Everything. But He will not force Himself on us. He will not push His way into our life. He will not take over things without us granting permission. Not because He can't, because He chooses not to. I want you to look in your house today, your heart, Christ's home. And I want to ask you if all of those rooms and all those things they represent are indeed given over to Jesus Christ. Or are you still thinking there's areas in your life Jesus doesn't need to be a part of? Are you still excusing behaviors and attitudes and actions that you know wouldn't make Jesus happy, but you're kind of saying, well, that's this part of life. God, you know, God's over here. This is this part of life. There is none of that. God will either be in every part of your life or God's not going to hang around. That's how it is. He's an all or nothing kind of God. Can't do this halfway. If you do, you'll be miserable. Because an unholy presence cannot occupy the same space with a holy God. We've got to give our choices to Him. We've got to give our thoughts to Him. We've got to give our lives to Him. Would you stand with me this morning? Most of you have heard this song before. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Is that where you're at this morning? Is that the place you're at in your life? Have you given God everything in every place? Or are you still kind of just trying to get into heaven by the skin of your teeth? What's your house look like? You need Jesus to put your house in order? Is there stuff going on at your house that shouldn't be going on? I'm just saying. God wants to help you. And He's more than able. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Janet, as you play, is everything surrendered to God this morning? If it's not, this is a good time and place to do that. Just come and kneel and say, God, man, I just want you to have every bit of me. I want you to take care of every place. Get rid of the hall closet. Clean things up. Take charge. I just want to say and do the things that will glorify and honor you and cause other people to see you in my life and want to know you because of what they see. Are you completely yielded to Him? Janet, can you sing a verse and a chorus of that song for us, please?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely
give. Is your life yielded to Him this morning? If there's something you need to turn loose of, there's something you've not surrendered, this would be the time to do it. Let's walk out of this place in victory today,
in His
presence, knowing that God has every part of us.
Daily
we're yielded to Him. Sing those words. Thank you so much for your attention this morning. I pray that your house will always be Christ's home, that He will have free reign in your heart and help you to be victorious every day and have the assurance of a home in heaven and life with Him, and take as many people with you as you can along the way. We are still in the midst of God's Love Giveaway, and there are cards out on the registration table. So if you think of some friends that you might invite, feel free to take those. That's why we have them. So you can hand them out and invite others to come who may not have a church home or may not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And we look forward to having them to come and to pay us a visit. For those of you who are new to us this morning, I hope that you were able to feel at home. Pray that you were able to be in God's presence and that God has truly spoken to your heart. If you do not have a church home, you're welcome here with us anytime and every time. We thank you for coming today. God bless you, each and every one. Brother Pat, if you would, pray a closing word of prayer, please.